Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Reshaping Retirement Show with Paul Herman. Paul and his guests will discuss the aspects of retirement as it is going to be, as it is now, and it has been. The new normal is new retirement as well. Now here's Paul Herman and Reshaping Retirement.
Hi, folks. Thank you for joining me on this first in a series of programs that's dealing with the changing face of retirement. Since I've titled the program Reshaping Retirement, I thought we should start at the beginning. So my guest today is Bill Pearson, president of the Del Webb Sun Cities Museum. Welcome, Bill.
Hey, thanks for having me, Paul. I can't think of a place I'd rather be than on a show with you and the Boomer.
That's right. Bill is one of my personal friends here in Sun City, where all of this stuff started, and I'd like to ask Bill to give us a little bit of the beginning of times with Del Webb and a little bit about the study and the naysayers and stuff like that. So I'll let you take it for a little bit, Bill, and pop in with some questions along the way.
Sure. Well, it's fascinating. You know, Sun City is celebrating its 50th anniversary this year, which means that we began in 1960, January 1, 1960 to be exact. The first of five model homes opened in Sun City. Along with it was Community Center, which was the first rec center, which is now called Oakmont, a shopping center just in front of those model homes and the rec center, and then back in the early days, it was called what became the King's Inn. It was originally the Highway House, which was a motor hotel chain of motels that Webb owned along with a restaurant and bar. 3 years later, became the King's Inn and was played an integral role in selling Sun City. But I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. That opening day on January 1st, 1960, 25,000 people came through. In the next 4 days, they reported about 100,000 people stopping by to take a look and see what this new active way of living was like. And much to the surprise of the Webb folks, it actually was the DevCo Corporation, Del E. Webb Development Corporation. They were stunned. They sold 237 homes that first weekend, ran out of sales agreements, started writing up sales agreements on yellow legal pads, and were astounded at their success.
Yeah, it was interesting, and the one thing you can't do on Black Talk Radio is show people pictures, but those are some things that you have through the museum that people can see. And I have some on our website here at the Visitor Center also. But when people look at those days of January 1st, 1960 and see an aerial view, we were out in the middle of nowhere. So to have 100,000 people drive out to see five homes in a shopping center and a motor hotel was just astounding.
Yeah, you're right. The aerial photos are really cool because they'll show you 2 miles of backed up traffic on Grand Avenue, which was little more than a blacktop roadway at that time. And
that was US 60.
Yeah, US 60, which is, you have to laugh today because they're trying, they've widened it a couple of times and they're actually doing that now. But absolutely, it was something to behold, and the Webb folks still talk about it. Actually, Pulte now, they use that in their promotional pieces, showing 50 years of history and exactly how it kicked off, which is it's so important. The Del Webb Sun Cities Museum is to me a very special place because we have that history, and I always say it's important for people to come to know how Sun City was formed. And of course, then you get the naysayers who will kick in that, well, it's really, what do we have to cling to our past? And I chuckle because it isn't about clinging to the past. It's about understanding why this community and why Sun City West are so uniquely different than virtually everything else out there today. And they are. And it's because of the way they were built. Size-wise, we're bigger. Being unincorporated forced us to do things that other smaller communities that are as part of cities couldn't do on their own. And so it's what makes us unique, and it's why it's so darn important that we actually understand how it was built and why it succeeded.
Yeah. The other thing that I think is interesting, Bill, is the fact that when Del Webb was first looking into this concept, and they did studies in Florida and a few other places, that he was basically told people aren't going to move there. They're not going to leave their families. Yet we find out from that opening day and the fact that they sold in 1 year as many homes as they planned on selling in 3 years. I don't remember the exact number, but it was a success from, in a sense, day one with people. So and now it's just blossomed all over the country.
Well, again, this is a piece that people have lost. You know, Sun City exploded, 1960, close to 2,000 homes, 1961, similar, 1962, a little smaller number. By 63, we saw a significant downturn. 64 fell off to nothing. By 1965, Sun City, there were 395 homes sold, and L.C. Jacobson, Tom Breen, Tom Ashton, the three architects or the guys that helped design Sun City in its original years, all left the company. They brought in John Meeker, and Meeker took a look at Sun City and said, you know what, we've got to change our focus. Everybody thought, at least in the early years, that the only reason people moved here because it was value-driven. In other words, the homes were smaller, cheaper, and you could live for next to nothing. What Meeker found was that everybody liked a good deal. Everybody liked value for their dollar, irrespective of how much money you had in the bank. And so, consequently, Meeker's first goal was to listen to what people said. They all told him bigger homes, nicer rec centers. He immediately started down that path. He incorporated the Plan Stay, which was they took over King's Inn. I mean, literally took every room in the place, and they let people come out here and spend a week for $75 and gave them a couple rounds of golf, let them hang around the pools and the rec centers. And Sun City, once Meeker got involved, exploded. From 1968 through 1978, the last 10 years, averaged about 2,000 home sales a year. And it was really it turned the whole scope of where Sun City was headed around. That new active way of life that DevCo is so, you know, proudly championed became more fact than fiction from the early years when it was struggling to really get going.
Yeah. One of the things I wanted to mention too, Bill, is that to let people know, our neighboring community, Youngtown, actually opened, was it 7 years before Sun City did? And it was designed...
1954, yeah.
Okay. And it was designed for seniors, but it was just a community for seniors to move to and sit on their front porch and swing on a rocker and do something like that. So the concept that Del Webb added to this element was the active lifestyle. And I thought the neatest thing was that, or one of the neat things was that on that opening day, they had 9 holes of golf course in place ready to play. They had the swimming pool. They had the recreation center, the shopping center. And it still boggles my mind that on December 31st, 1959, a Safeway grocery store opened up in Sun City before there was one resident anywhere around.
Well, that was no accident. Jim Boswell, who had been the partner with Webb and the DevCo Corporation, Boswell owned the land. He also was on the board of Safeway, and they gave him an exclusivity clause, and the only rent they paid was in conjunction with whatever sales were. So it was it worked out well for all of the parties involved. It's also interesting to note that those surveys you talked about, when Webb, they spent $10,000 with experts, if you will, in the late 50s, and the experts said it would never work. So one of the folks from DevCo had a friend go down to Florida, and he said, interview some seniors while you're down there and see what they tell you. They paid for his gas and his lodging, far less than the $10,000 they had invested with the experts. When he came back, he said, okay, here's what they told me. when we bought our places down here, they promised us they would put up activities for us to enjoy, and now several years later, we still have nothing. So Breen, Ashton, and Jacobson all said to Webb, look, if we're going to do this, we have to have the amenities in place. We have to have the rec center. We have to have the golf courses. We have to have things for people to do so that they know we're not just blowing smoke. Hence, the survey really was very informal, but also very enlightening because it was what people saw when they got here. They found exactly what they were promised.
Yeah. The other thing you mentioned, too, that I thought was unique when you mentioned Boswell starting the vacation packages out here, people coming out for a week for $75. That was the first time that was ever done, and the ironic thing is the new communities are still doing it to this day. I think it's $90 for an overnight, but they're still using the same concept to draw people out to their new communities.
Well, it is try it and buy it. I mean, I think the largest challenge for us in Sun City is simply to get people out here to see it. We have a perception, a misconception that Sun City is a bunch of old people waiting to die, and what never fails to happen is people will show up with that preconceived notion of a bunch of old fogies sitting around, you know, doing nothing. They get out here and they're blown away. I was telling somebody this morning, I have met with no less than a half a dozen media people in the last 6 months that came out here, spent a couple of days with me hanging around Sun City, and have walked away going, oh my goodness, in my wildest imagination, I didn't think this was what it was.
Yeah, and so, go ahead, Bill.
Well, it's simply stunning to them because they have no idea, and it just is the way it is. And I know you've had some of those same experiences time and time again.
Yeah, we get the people coming into the visitor center from literally around the world, Korea, Japan, the Netherlands. I had people here from Denmark a week ago. And they still look to this particular Sun City because of our 50-plus years of success. And they are in awe of the fact that it works as smoothly as it works. And the one thing we keep making reference to Sun City because that's where both of us live, and the program isn't strictly Sun City. We'll get into other things as we go along. But the one thing people need to understand with the name Sun City is we are not a city. We are an unincorporated community, basically run by volunteers.
Yeah, well, again, that's a piece of this. Everybody, almost everyone that's heard of Sun City says, oh, you have all those golf courses. Or, oh, yeah, you're right, we're 3 miles long and 7 miles wide. There's 11 golf courses within the white walls that we live in. There's seven rec centers. Everybody's heard of those things, and everybody goes, wow, that's really cool. You can play your life away. But for a lot of us, moving here was way more than just coming down and playing golf or going to the club and working out. We found that it was a community that where we needed to take ownership. We had to become a part of it to ensure that it continues, which is how it was built. I mean, early on, DevCo gave all of the amenities to the residents. They literally voted on whether to accept them or not, and of course the vote was substantial in those early years. But from about 5 years in, the residents had to take ownership and become active in the management of the community. We all, you know, we all came from somewhere. I think the greatest quote I've ever seen about Sun City was that it has a horizontal organizational table. And you only have to think about that to understand how different it is, because all of us came from vertical structures of organization. Somebody was always in charge, and somebody was always telling you what to do, if it was the mayor or the city council or the head of the company you worked for. We all answered to somebody. In Sun City, each organization is freestanding and runs itself. I mean, the visitor center, you're the boss, but you've got to make sure that the bills are paid every day via contributions. I mean, that's how you exist. The Del Webb Sun Cities Museum exists by a handful of people that belong and are members. The Homeowners Association, the Condo Owners Association, the Taxpayers Association. The RCSC gets money from everybody, but their role is fairly limited.
Yeah. I've made reference to them when we have our orientations with new residents. I'll just say, basically, if we were a city, the little bit of money we pay each year would be going in the form of a tax to the Parks and Recreation Department, because that's basically all our recreation centers are. They have two main functions: make sure the grass is cut on those golf courses they own, and make sure the pool temperature doesn't vary by a quarter of a degree, because they catch heck for either one of those things. But, it is an amazing concept. And the interesting thing is, when you look around the country now, Del Webb, I believe, is built, is it 60 or 80 different communities? Then you have Robeson communities. You have all kinds of them. But the unique thing with Sun City and Sun City West is that we are the unincorporated communities that are in that self-governing situation. Just about everybody else is within a city.
Well, you know, Bill Ness, that has 55places.com, great website that does analysis of each of the 400-plus retirement communities on his website. The thing that you'd note on there, if you took the time to go through all 400 of them, the largest is the Villages with about 70,000 homes, but it's spread out over three counties and is, you know, certainly not comparable to what we have here in Sun City. It's clearly different. But the vast majority, I think Pulte has somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 Del Webb properties or communities. They're all smaller. I mean, they came to realize that it's far more manageable to put up a community of 1,200 to 5,000 homes than it is to put up a community of 27,000 homes like Sun City or 18,000 homes like Sun City West. Those are just too sprawling, too long to sell out, too difficult to oversee, too many golf courses. So where you put up a community with 3,000 homes, you have one golf course, you have one rec center, you turn it over and you sell out in 5 or 6 or 7 years and you move on to the next one. This one and Sun City West both took long periods of time to sell that many properties, and it took a huge infrastructure to come together. It's just wholly different, and it's one of the things that I think makes us very special.
Yeah. Definitely. But it's also one of the awkward things, in a sense, being the first kid on the block. Other communities have learned from some of our situations. I'll mention the visitor center. Sun City, as we said, opened in 1960. It wasn't until 1986 when a group of businessmen, and it was led by Ken Mead in real estate, said, you know, unless we promote this community, it's going to die, because Del Webb was gone from here in 78, so until 86 we ended up with a visitor center. And as you said, I'm a freestanding organization here. In Sun City West, their visitor center is under their homeowners association and work together as a joint venture. And in newer communities, things like homeowners associations are funded, where ours is a voluntary organization that they try to get $15 per couple out of. And other, these newer communities you mentioned that are only 1,000 homes, you go in there and you're paying umpteen dollars a month just to be a member of homeowners, and it's not optional. You are a member. So you kind of wish maybe back then we would have done a little something along those lines, but it still has worked out great for us here.
Yeah, I'm torn. I mean, there's been days where I wish I had been around in the 60s just to see what it was like. Or fortunately, I guess for me, if I had been, I'd be dead by now. So I guess I'm glad I wasn't there. But I would have liked to have seen that. I wish we have 3,000 pictures online at our museum. Well, they're not all up yet. We've got them all digitized. We're slowly working them up. But I look at those old photos from the 60s and 70s, and I literally drool. I mean, I look at the marketing by Devco, and I'm stunned at how good it was. You have to stop and think about this. In the 50s, people retired, and you're right, they sat in the rocking chair and rocked their life away. So, and they didn't leave home. I mean, they stayed close to the kids. Web changed all of that. The folks that did the marketing of the Sun Cities concept were brilliant in that they knew they needed to create a person's mind a picture of something different. And it took them a few years to get there, but they really did nail it. And it was about convincing people, leaving the kids, getting in the car, driving 2,000 miles to the desert was really okay because it was about trying to enjoy that last third of your life or the last 20 years of your life or whatever the number was back then or is today is almost immaterial. And so it has worked. And for 50 years, the one thing that we continue to see, hear, and read from those early residents was they came here and fell in love with this community.
Yeah, yeah. Now, one of the things you mentioned earlier, Bill, is you almost wish you lived back then. I'm having a hard time picturing that. From the standpoint, I'm having a hard time picturing you with long pants and a hat, and Lori with a skirt and white gloves.
White shoes. You needed white shoes and a white belt. And what's really cool is, Paul, I still see some of those people walking around out here.
That's right.
With the
That's
same
right.
white shoes and the white belt they owned back in 1973. It's really fun. Leisure suits are still in vogue in some places here, and that's okay because the neat thing about Sun City is we don't. This isn't a status symbol. We're not competing with anybody who looks cooler, who's got the newest car, who's got the biggest house on the block. None of that matters. What you did for a living before you came here means zero on the scale of how you're doing now. So, I mean, that was yesterday's news. Today is, do you love it here? Do you enjoy being out and about doing the things you want, when you want, how you want?
I think that's one of the things I really enjoy with this community also, is people are looking to the future. They're not living in the past. They're when you're talking to them, they're talking about what they're going to be doing tomorrow, what they just learned today. Whether it be a new club or a new class or a new language and a lifelong learning program, but they're looking forward to life instead of sitting on that porch talking about, well, I used to.
Well, I don't think there's any question about that. The one thing, perhaps the biggest challenge for me was I always tried to build into my life some kind of long-term plan, some kind of a strategy, and what we found out here was, about long-term planning was that was what you were going to do next week, not what you were going to do this week.
Yes.
But that's okay again. It's a different way to live. There is, I do a couple of blogs. One of them is called Within These White Walls, and I'm fascinated by that because it really is about a way to live that's different than outside the walls. I have talked to no less than a dozen people that have said to me, you know, I got back to Sun City. I drove inside the wall in my car, and I just suddenly got a sense of serenity. A peace of mind, a sense of quiet came over me when I get back in the walls where I just take a nice sigh and say, God, I'm so happy to be back here.
Yeah,
and
it's
been repeated over and over again. We're not the first. There's nothing new about what we're feeling today, and you and I are, you know, relatively young in comparison to a lot of the folks living here, but from day one, it's been that way, and I hope that when I finally leave here, if it's 10 or 20 or 40 years, I'm able to say I left Sun City in a better place than when I found it, and that would be hard to do, but it takes that kind of commitment to the future and giving back and being a part of and wanting to keep people feeling good about where they live.
Yeah, correct. And let me share something with our listening audience, giving an idea of where we're at age-wise and things. Our average age here in Sun City is about 73.5. And as people ask me about that, they say, isn't it going to get lower as the boomers are retiring? And I said, not really. If anything, we'll get older. And people say, they look at me kind of funny when I say that. And I said, well, with 26,000 homes, in 2005, we had, round figures, 2,600 homes changed hands. If all of those people that moved into those homes were 55, which obviously they're not, it still leaves 90% of us getting a year older. And when you look at what's happening in the healthcare industry today, how much longer people are living, it's astounding. We have, roughly speaking, over 120 people over 100 years old living in Sun City now. And I met a gal a couple of years ago when she was a young 106. And she, I had a small group from Japan here, and they were looking to meet somebody who was really old. And we were at Royal Oak, a life care center, and I asked Barbara, I said, is there anybody we could go visit with them? And she says, let me check, and she goes into this room and comes out and waves to me and says, come on in. And there's this lady in there, 106 years old, who had on a lovely pleated skirt, a white blouse, pearl necklace. It looked like June Cleaver waiting for company. And she was just as sharp as could be, and she still is at 108. So, and there's a couple things that lead to that, and a lot of it is this activity. We've got the weather, for one thing, which allows you to get out. I'm originally from Chicago. You're from Minneapolis area. If you were elderly in either of those climates, come wintertime, you hibernate for total fear of walking out and slipping on the steps and breaking something, where here you're out and you're active. I've been into these fitness centers here where I would be embarrassed to put myself up against some of these older people that are in there three and four times a week working out. I mean, they could run circles around me.
There's the Web philosophy, one of their taglines early on was, move to Sun City and live 10 years longer. Now, thankfully, no one ever challenged them to show the exact survey or study that verified those numbers, but the simple fact is that number you cited, I remember I was a volunteer at the visitor center when this came out, you know, 6 years ago or so. The front page of the Daily News Sun said 130 people over the age of 100 in Sun City. I don't know where that number is today. You cited the 120. We know it's well over 100, but there's more to it than just that. It's the thing that's made Sun City, I think, for longevity, the activity, but two, there just isn't much stress here, Paul.
Good point.
You only have to read the vents to see that the hot button issue is people are putting up those garage sale signs on the corner post, and that's illegal. You know.
Very true.
Or if you're the third golf car back at the stoplight, you know, road rage, I guess, is a possibility because that guy in front of you doesn't go quite fast enough. But, I mean, let's face it. Sun City was a place where stress was just not as much of an issue. And when you can take stress out of your life, the craziness of what goes on outside the walls and simply exist day to day, saying what am I going to do today? It's a pretty easy way to live.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, when you talk about, I have a few volunteers here who volunteer at the visitor center. They volunteer at where they live, handling dance lessons. They call bingo. They're involved with Meals on Wheels, and it's like, boy, I don't know how I ever work for a living. I have so much activity here, and they're just loving every bit of it, though. And that concept of giving back to the community and keeping them active. So I look at one of the things, too, here in Phoenix that I'm kind of going to veer into a little bit of volunteerism now when we talk about these different aspects of the community life. Fulton Homes advertised for years about the Power of Five, and it happened to be that they were on Channel 5. Had they been on Channel 8, it would have been Power of 8, but that's neither here nor there. But the Power of Five, if everybody in a community, now whether it be Sun City, whether it be Surprise, whether it be Phoenix, whether it be Chicago, I don't care, but if everybody in the community would give back just 5 hours a month in volunteer time, the difference that could make in a community.
Well, let's be realistic. In Sun City, it's well over that. And,
yes.
And the funny thing is, it isn't. Everybody doesn't volunteer. Let's get that straight right away. A lot of people are too old to. A lot of people have no interest. But a lot of people volunteer 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 40 hours a week. You know, we have 120 clubs. Every club has to have a set of officers that are volunteers. 31 churches. Every church gets by on boards and committees of volunteers. Every organization, there's no less than a dozen organizations within these walls that wouldn't exist without volunteers. The
That's right.
Boswell Hospital has, what, 700 or 800 volunteers. We only survive. Our infrastructure was built on giving back and being a part of the community. Without it, we couldn't keep functioning as a community. It's that simple for us. And so our power of five is probably a power of ten. I think you used to put these statistics up. You can probably say it better than I, but I know that there are millions of hours per year donated back within these walls.
Yeah, that was something they did at the 40th anniversary 10 years ago here, and then they put a dollar figure on it, and it was just staggering. How much is given back, and that's how we operate. It's and as we said, it's worked for 50 some years. The thing we're looking at now, though, Bill, is with our and the younger people, our boomers moving into town, and people saying, well, they're not the volunteer type people. But one of the things I like to point out is that if we look at our residents from the 60s and 70s, the initial residents in Sun City, they all came from, not all, but the vast majority came from single-income families. The husband was the breadwinner. The wife was the stay-at-home mom who was accustomed to volunteering at church and at PTA and in different organizations around their community. So when they moved here, they just kind of naturally fell into that mode. Well, we're getting away from that now. And I think that's one of the things we're going to be talking about in future programs with the reshaping of retirement. That volunteer aspect is changing, and it's due to the fact that now both parents are coming in from dual-income families, if they're retiring at all.
Yeah, that's unfortunately what happens outside the walls does influence what happens within these walls, and I think it's important to note that we recognize that, which is, you know, I think part and parcel of how you solve problems is by looking at what's going on around you and come to understand that those times are changing. For example, you've made a significant impact in your promotion of clubs being open at night. When we do the new residents orientation, I know you insisted that we have a session at night, so those people that were working were able to attend. And, in fact, some cases those night sessions are better attended than the daytime sessions.
Yeah,
so,
very true.
I mean, this is you can't ignore what's going on around you. You have to incorporate that into what you're doing to make sure that people that are coming here and are still working are able to enjoy the things that their grandparents did or their parents did when they moved here. So it's simply about restructuring and retrofit and refitting it to fit people's needs today. And I think we're on the right track. We're not there yet, but and the more boomers that move here, the more 55 and 60 and 65-year-olds that come in here still working for a living, that get involved, they'll make an impact, and they'll be a part of helping shape those discussions. For example, the Next Gen Club, I think, is the perfect example.
Yeah, and we're just getting that one off the ground. So hopefully that will have an impact. It's already giving some people a home away from home, so to speak, because it is, in many cases, if you're working 40 hours a week, you need those evening activities to relax and meet people and get together. So, yeah, we're working on it, and I think we are going to make some good strides along those ways. The worst thing you want to hear is that person who says, but we don't do it that way.
Gee, I don't think I've ever heard that in one of the committee meetings I attended early on.
Yeah.
He said jokingly.
Yeah.
But it is getting better. And I think what you're seeing is, from boomers, is that ability to speak out and to expect to be heard. I've read a number of the oral histories from the early years that we conducted at the museum, and it was fascinating to see people in the 80s interviewed and say, those newcomers coming into town, they're going to ruin Sun City. I can just see it. You know, when we moved here in the 60s and 70s, it was different. Those folks, they don't understand. Well, it's the same things we're hearing today, and I suspect 40 years from now they'll be saying the same things. And the reality is that those of us that were here early on always think that those that are following along behind us are somehow going to ruin it. And the reality most often is they don't ruin anything. It just changes to fit the needs and expectations of people as they move in.
Yeah. So, I think one of the things, too, that's helping ease that change in a manner of speaking is the number of second and now even third generation Sun Cityans. A lot of the people moving here have been coming here because their parents or their grandparents, or both in some cases, lived here. So they've seen the community changing through these years, as you're talking about, and they are ready to make that next change. So it's it makes it a lot easier when you have things like that happening. The thing that I remember is when I first got to the visitor center, and I've been here just short of 10 years now, as hard as that is to believe, I had somebody come in and tell me, I don't like what you're talking about because you're talking about changing things. And I said to him, sir, I'm not trying to change things. I'm just trying to get people to recognize that things are changing. You can't just stop change. It's something that's going to happen, whether you like it or not. And the big thing is to be willing to speak out a little bit, get your opinions heard, so that you can be part of that change and not just sit back and grumble that things are changing.
Well, I think the perfect example of that is the whole question of retirement. If you recall, Marketplace from L.A. came in here a couple of years ago. They were doing something called the American Dream, and a portion of it was on the segment of retirement. And the two people from the radio station there had a fabulous question. I mean, they were very insightful because we talked about Webb was a union carpenter who in the 40s saw Taft-Hartley pass and recognized that employers were going to have defined benefit pension plans, they were going to be paying their health care for retirees. They knew that people were going to have disposable income, that three legs of the stool, Social Security savings, and a retirement plan, that they would be looking for something similar to this. So he was very insightful. The women, when I said that to the women, they said, well, if that's the case, then if retirement plans are going away and employers, you know, people change jobs seven times in their career and aren't, you know, getting the golden watch after 30 years, does that mean that Sun City won't make it because, you know, there'll be less and less of that? And I kind of smiled at them because it was point on. And I said, no.
You mean people like me that only have a two-legged stool?
That's right. No, but exactly.
Yeah.
But, you know, you got to. What's fascinating is that the Pulte people have done a great job from the standpoint of tracking boomers' expectations. And if you follow boomers, 10,000 baby boomers a day will hit retirement age every day for the next 20 years. A lot of them are going to keep working, one, because they want to, or two, because they can't afford to retire. But work may not be what they did for the last 30 years. It may be something wholly different. They may start a radio program called Boomer and the... Oh, no, that's... The fact of the matter is that people that are coming here in many cases are working because they have to. And so we need to just keep shaping this and reshaping this and making it fit the needs of the potential buyers here.
Yeah, and when you're talking about is the number 78 billion or million boomers retiring, I think our 26,000, 27,000 homes should be able to handle a few of those.
Well, if we get them in the door here, I got to tell you, I as much as I hear from people saying to me, "Hey, did you see that retirement community over to the west of us, or did you see that one that opened that's got the, you know, fill in the blanks?" I visited five communities before I bought here. All of them active retirement communities. Every one of them was newer, nicer, more elaborate. The homes were twice as fancy show places. I mean, literally show places. And in the end, I bought in Sun City because it was like that old comfortable pair of shoes that just slipped on and it fit. You know, it just was home. And so for a lot of people, they want newer, glitzier, more glamorous. I wanted to be comfortable, and Sun City is comfortable. So when we get people here, they love it. The trick is to get them here.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why we're starting to market a little bit further in different arenas now. So another thing that's been changing when you look at our community, and once again, changes. When Del Webb first had this concept of Sun City, it was the small neighborhood community type feel. We have 16 shopping centers, strip shopping centers throughout our community. And as successful as we were, along with our 7 recreation centers and 8 golf courses, I think after Del Webb, let's say, passed away, or the other powers to be within the Devco Corporation and many of the other ones now, Robeson, et cetera, that concept went away right away, and that's why our community, there's never going to be another Sun City. Even in Sun City West, where they dropped down to one central shopping area, and in Sun City Grand, there's, in a sense, virtually no shopping, which is the way it is in most of the newer communities now, because the corporations are maximizing their land for home sales, which is all they're looking for, is the bottom line for their stockholders. Where I think Del Webb really had that heart for what he was doing. And that was something that I'm going to ask you to share, Bill, is the his appearance on the Merv Griffin Show, whatever year that was. I don't even recall right now.
Yeah, it was the early 70s, and it was the millionaire program that Merv did, where he interviewed millionaires and they talked about everything. Just recognize this. Del Webb was born in 1899. Fairly successful parents. Dad had his own business. Unfortunately, it went broke in 1914, and Del dropped out of high school. Bear that in mind, dropped out of high school and was a carpenter at the age of 14. Worked up and down the coast of California. The only prerequisite was that the wherever he went to work, there had to be a semi-pro ball team that he could play on, because he was a very good ball player. Del kept waiting for the call from the big leagues. Never came. In 1927, he contracted typhoid fever. Now, Del Webb was a big man, 6'4". 210 pounds at the time. He lost, he went down to about 105 pounds, almost died. In 28, he moved to Phoenix because of his health, where the climate was a little bit drier. Recovered, became a very successful builder within Arizona. In the war years, he went on and worked for the federal government Air Force military bases across the country. In fact, the word was that virtually everybody else used to have to submit bids. Del was just awarded contracts because they liked him that much. He owned the Yankees for 20 years, 1945 to 1965. Built Bugsy Siegel's Hotel, which was his entree into Las Vegas, where he started a whole gaming division within the Webb Corporation. Unfortunately, Dell fell over dead. Well, he died in Rochester Mayo Hospital on July 4th, 1974. Very sad day, and you know, he never did see the fruition of the Sun Cities. However, the point being here is that over a 40-year span, Dell Webb created countless numbers of projects that are well renowned across the country and well known across the world, including Madison Square Garden, the three sports stadiums in Kansas City, and countless others. In the interview with Merv Griffin, Dell said very pointedly, Sun City is the one project that stands out the best in my mind. It's the one place that has the softest spot in my heart. And it's because it changed a way of life for a country and a nation of people that were very sedentary, and he built something that has stood the test of time. He knew it before he died, and while he didn't see it build out, he knew that what he had here was something very special.
Yeah, and it would be interesting now to be able to talk to somebody like Dell and see what happened with his concept, how it has grown, where originally in the Sun Belt states, then they realized people wanted the amenities but weren't going to move, so I think Hundley, Illinois was the first one in a cold area, and now they're literally all over the country with multiple builders. So the writer of that book you alluded to little while ago on our show here, who said, I wonder if these places are ever going to last. It was, to me, one of the dumbest questions I've ever heard anybody ask. I mean, we were on 48 years of success with multiple copycat communities all over the country, and he's saying, well, I wonder if this concept of senior living is going to last.
Yeah, you have to chuckle, because it is a question that's on its face silly, but when you stop and think, retirement has changed. Unfortunately, I think that's bad, actually, but that's just my personal opinion. I think people that work hard for a living should be able to, at some point, be able to enjoy the fruits of their labor via retirement, and hopefully they'll get there someday. And I almost regret the fact that we've seen defined benefit plans go away, because they were the supplement that allowed people to get out at a decent age, whether it's 60 or 62 or 65. It was a way of life that you work hard, you do a good job, and at the end you should be rewarded. The idea of working until if I had to be working until I was 75, certainly wouldn't be appealing to me. And I hear that a lot from people saying, I don't know if I'll ever retire, which is, you know, I think that's a loss for the country, but that's just my opinion. Who am I?
Well, it's true, though, because you're looking about the pensions being gone. Social Security now is, for the younger people, is up to 67, and they're talking about it going up to 70.
Yeah.
And how many people can afford to retire on only 90% of Social Security or 80%? So you almost have to hang in there for the full 100% at 67 or 70 or wherever that moves to. And unfortunately, with our country in the sad shape it's in financially, and every state being the same way, it's just going to get harder on people. So,
which is exactly why I see Sun City becoming even more popular than it was in years past, because from a relative value standpoint, you can't live any better than we do here, any cheaper than we do here, and have the amenities. I mean, let's be very blunt. Right now, the cost to belong to our rec centers is $420 per household. One or two people, it's per household if you bought here tomorrow. When you couple that with our low property taxes, it's less than what you would pay anywhere in the country that I know of. Now, I'm sure there's places out there that have very low property taxes, but when you compare what you get for what you pay, you can't do better than you do here in Sun City.
Yeah, that's the one thing I always share with people coming in here. I make it a point never to tell people that we are the best community, because best is so relative in nature. I look at us, when you look at some of the newer communities going up, I would say we're kind of plain vanilla. But I will tell people, if you're looking for a value, we can't be beat. And there's millions of people out there who need a great value. As I tell people, I could afford to, I could possibly move into some other part of the country and find a home for possibly less money or whatever, but what am I going to do? I, you know, literally couldn't go out and join a gym for $420 a year, let alone have everything else we have available to us in this community.
Exactly. Well, you know, I have a lot of respect for the Pulte Corporation. I think they do a lot of things really well. I've met with several of the folks from Pulte this year as we've gone over things for the 50th, and I'm fascinated by how well they understand what they're doing, because they're constantly looking at what they're building, what does the future hold, you know, downsizing the size of these communities. And one of the things they said is, we think that we have something for everyone. And they're right, because nothing, there's no one size fits all anymore. But there is a size for everybody based on what they want or need. And so what I always tell people is, before you buy in any community, take a look very closely at what you get for what you pay. Understand what you want. You know, when retirement comes, if it's 60 or 70, it doesn't matter. But when you get there, shop around and see what it is you're looking for. Find out what's special to you, what makes a community better or worse. And so they do have something for everyone. And Sun City is just one of the alternatives. That's why this 55places.com website is, in my opinion, so powerful. Bill Ness was brilliant in putting this up.
And, yeah.
In fact, I just got an email from him today. It looks like the video that the 50th anniversary paid for 55 Places is going to be up by next week. Which is, yeah, stop and think about it. With 400 different communities online, we will be the first to have live video of the community, which is only appropriate. We were the first to be here.
That's right.
Why wouldn't we be the first to have the video up? Who'd have thunk we were that progressive?
Well, yeah, a couple of the things, too, that as we talk about these various communities going up now and some of the changes that have taken place, I think Sun City's success also spawned the community of Anthem north of here, which is a all-age community, because the kids of people moving here said, hey, Mom, Dad, we like what you guys have, but we can't live there. So Del Webb built a community for all ages that had all the amenities, the golf, et cetera. And now over in the East Valley, what they're doing is they're building the Anthem-type community right next door to a Sun City-type community. So Grandma and Grandpa can be on one side of the wall, and the kids and grandkids are on the other side of the wall. Just trying different concepts. So as you said, they're progressive. They definitely are looking at different ways of doing things. Personally, I kind of like being away from the grandkids a little bit. Now, kids are welcome in Sun City and all the communities. Grandkids can come here and visit 90 days a year if they'd like. Personally, I have 10 grandkids, so I'd be nuts to have them all spend the whole summer with me. Or I would be at the end of the summer, one way or the other.
Well, the good news is, on two fronts for me, I have no grandkids, and two, I'm already nuts. So at least that's to listen to some of my friends. You're exactly right. I mean, the Sun City gets a bad rap often because we have no school taxes per se, because we have no schools. And that people think we hate kids, and that's not at all the case. Sun City does a lot of things that interact with kids, including grandkids that come and stay. They have pool hours for kids so that they don't run into some of the crabby old people that are going to sit and complain about, you know, the fact that a younger person is enjoying the pool at the same time they are. A lot of the activities are kid-friendly here from the standpoint of being able to go out and play miniature golf or go to the bowling alley or to do other things that we have here to do. So it isn't that we don't like kids by any means. It's just this community was built as an age-restricted community. as are most of the newer developments. That was one of the things that they tried not to change, because they did understand that when you have a non-age restricted setting, it's very difficult to try and keep any kind of a balance like we have here and the others that have age restrictions.
Yeah, what you said there popped a memory of mine. It's probably been 5 years ago when a group was here from Russia, and a group of us were sitting down and talking to them, and the first question the guy asked was, "Why do you people hate children?" And it just kind of took me back a second. I couldn't believe that question came out of the guy's mouth. And then you go into the explanation. We don't hate children. A lot of people, if you ask them, they say, "I've already raised my kids. I don't want to raise my grandkids." So now, that's something that's happening, though, in our community from the standpoint we do have, with the economy the way it is right now, we've got situations where kids and grandkids are being forced to move in with mom and dad here in Sun City. We're trying to deal with that as best we can. We have to stay with the 90-day figure because of our overlay. And, Bill, you were involved with the Homeowners Association, who's in charge of making sure that stays in line with our 80% number. So those are things you can't just say, well, economy is bad, we'll let it happen for a few years. We can't.
Yeah. Clearly, Paul, Sun City's success was predicated on it being age-restricted. The federal government has dictated that we have to remain at least 80% of the people living here over the age of 55. The minute you start to waver, the minute you lose that federal age overlay, is the day that Sun City would be gone. So while people think that we're being harsh, we're only being protective of trying to preserve what was built 50 years ago. It's that good, and I would hate to feel like we were responsible for losing it because we didn't, you know, follow through with our commitment to preserve those values.
That's very true. Very true. So, but we work with people. In the future, as we're getting close to the end of our hour here, I'm going to have people on. We're going to be talking about some of the issues that we're running into here in our community and in all communities, and that being transportation. As people get older, it makes it harder and harder. So those are things we're going to be dealing with. We'll be talking about the working issue, because people are starting to, in some cases, be forced to go back to work because of what's happened with the economy, with the stock market and things like this, although fortunately it seems to be coming back. People aren't getting jobs yet, but the stock market seems to be rebounding from where it from the doldrum days of a few years ago. So we will be doing a lot more of this stuff. I'm going to have Bill back on because, like I said, Bill and I have pretty well clicked for a long time. We both really love this community and what it has to offer. So for now, I think I'm getting ready to sign off. And thank you very much, Bill, for all you've added to the program. I thank you for being my first guest.
Hey, Paul, it was always my pleasure to be in the presence of greatness like yourself.
Oh, wow. Thank you very much. And thank you to the listening audience for being with
us.
Yeah. And thank you to the listening audience for being with us. We hope you'll join us again next month when we'll have a new guest on, and we'll get into some of the other things that are happening with retirement, because as the title says, we are reshaping retirement. Whether we want to or not, it's something that's happening. We need to keep our eyes open and keep our thumb on all the changes that are taking place. So thank you again. This is Paul signing off.
You've been listening to Reshaping Retirement with Paul Herman. Reshaping Retirement is a production of the Boomer and the Babe Enterprises Network. Contact the Boomer and the Babe at www.boomerandthebabe.com.